just improve 1% a day, just 1%. Because if you improve just something little every day, 1%, then after a whole year, at the end of this year, you will have improved over 300% as a person. That's pretty cool. And what do you improve? Anything. Just improve the way you stand, the way you sit, the way you look at people in the eye when you meet them or speak with them instead of at their toes. Comb your hair, put deodorant on, tie your shoes, anything. Take a bath. It'll improve you immensely.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. There's one thing that we all have an equal amount of each day, and that is time. We've all been given 86,400 seconds per day. You and I have just as much as Bill Gates. The important thing is what we do with our time. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Making the Most of Our Time.
Please take out your notes as we talk about how we can sort of take a hold of the opportunities that lie before us in this next year and to make the most of our time, because time is flying by, isn't it? I mean, we just started 2000, you know, and zero, and now it's 2004. And now that I'm going to be turning 52 this year, I get a little upset, because especially I realize that, you know, like Ecclesiastes says, I am young and now I am old, just that fast. And especially now when the AARP keeps sending me letters. That's the American Association for Retired Persons. Take this senior discount, and I threw that stuff away. I said, I'm not ready to be old. Until I found this little article that told me how valuable older people are. Listen to this. This is amazing. Old folks are worth a fortune. They have silver in their hair and gold in their teeth. They have stones in their kidneys and gas in their bowels. This lady says, I have become a lot more social with the passing of years, she said. In fact, I feel good about it. And some might even call me a bit indiscreet, because I'm seeing five gentlemen every day. Yeah, she says, as soon as I awake, Will Power helps me get out of bed. And then I go see John. And as I'm going there, Charlie Horse comes along. He stays for a while, but when he leaves, Arthur Rytus shows up and he stays the rest of the day. And after such a busy day, I'm really tired and glad to go to bed. So I go to bed with Ben Gay. What a life, she said. She said, the other day the preacher came to call on me and he said, at my age, I should be thinking about the hereafter. I told him I do all the time, no matter where I am, upstairs, in the kitchen, in the basement. I keep asking myself, now, what was I here after? You know, the Bible talks a lot about time. In fact, time is one of the major components to life. Time is what allows bread to rise. Time is what allows interests to accumulate. Time is what allows crops to grow, youth to mature, friendships to blossom, fruit to develop, children to grow. But time is sort of like the wind. I mean, you can let it either tussle your hair, or you can harness it with a windmill and use it for good, or like energy. Energy could just be standing out there free to everybody, whether it be through hydroelectric power or whatever it might be, or you can harness it, let it go, or harness it and bring benefit to mankind. You see, it's not how much time you have as much as how well are you harnessing the time that you have. Because you see, every single one of us really every day has the same amount given to us, allotted to every single one of us, 86,400 seconds. Given to every single one of us. We all have the same time. So it's not how much you have, it's how well you're harnessing. And what we want to talk about is how do you take this thing called time and convert it into the stuff that life is made out of. Converting time and turning it into life. Otherwise, time can just swish by you, or you can stop that and turn it into life. How do you do that? How is that conversion made? Well, the Bible talks a lot about that. But first of all, it reminds us it's not how much time you have, it's how well you're harnessing or using that. So would you write in your first bullet there, everyone has equal amounts of what? Time. Everyone has time. It's how we use it that'll determine our success. Everyone. For today, you have 86,400 seconds. How are you going to use it? And every second has a potential of life in it. How do you convert that time into the stuff that life is made out of? Henry David Thoreau, the great writer, once said, "You cannot kill time without injuring eternity." How true. And Diogenes, who is a Greek philosopher, said this, "Time is the most valuable thing a man can spend." Isn't that true? It's not money, it's not riches, it's time. Time. Time invested well can build great families. Time that's harnessed well can take a mediocre family and turn it into a great family. Take average musicians, the right use of time will turn an average musician into a world-renowned musician. It can take a low-class leader and turn him into a high-class leader by the harnessing of the utilizing of time. You know, in biblical times, they actually called it not by minutes and hours, but they would call it watches, first watch or the second watch or the third watch. It was as if they were expecting something. How do I use this? They're watching. In fact, Ecclesiastes calls it seasons, a season of harvest, a season of growing, a season of hibernation. In that, what he's saying is that every span of our life, whether short increments or long, there's an expectation attached to it, a purpose attached to it. Are you going to take time and convert it so that that comes to pass, or will we let it just flow by and miss it? That's why Psalms in chapter 90 and verse 12, the psalmist says this, "Oh God, teach us to number our days well so that we'll present to you a heart of wisdom." In the end, we want to be able to present to God a heart of wisdom, or wisdom with which we use or harness time and turn it into life. Well, what about this stuff called life? Well, Ephesians posts a warning, and it says this, make the most of your time because the days are, what do you think? Evil. Yeah, evil. In fact, right at the top of our notes, let's read it together. Ready? Go. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are..." What he's saying there is that our culture wars against good, wise use of time. Advent of television, Nintendo, Sega, Game Boy, all of these things that will suck the time of your life right out. That same amount of time that could have been used to develop a great musician, a great leader, a great scholar. Instead, time can be squandered to the point where you're left with nothing in return. How do you convert time into life? How do you make the most of our time? Well, the scripture in Ephesians gives us some pretty good ideas. And we're going to take a walk through about 10 verses today so that we can see how to make the most of our time. And the very first piece of advice is, if you're going to make the most of your time, number one, would you write down, you need to know God's will for this year. You need to know God's will for this year. Let's read what Ephesians 5:17 says, the next verse. Go. "So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." You see, to not know God's will cause us to live foolishly. You got to know where God wants you to go, who He wants you to become. What are some areas of your life that you need to improve? You got to know that, plan that out. For example, if I said to you, you just won a free ticket on United Airlines to anywhere in the world. Here's a certificate. Hoo-hoo, you go and redeem the certificate. Then you go to the airlines counter and the lady comes out and you say, "Here's my coupon." She says, "Great, it's valid." "Okay, give me a ticket." "Okay. Give me a ticket." What's the obvious question she's going to ask you? Where do you want to go? Where are you going? Because it doesn't matter if I have all the power in the world to grant you something. I got to know this ticket. I got to know, where are you going first? And it's sort of like the Lord is saying, where are you going? Know what the will of God is, which means simply, and it's really easy to start by saying, not what is God's will, but what isn't God's will. Just prune, because remember, one of the greatest secrets to fruitfulness is not adding, it is pruning. When you prune orchards, they bloom and blossom. And one of the greatest secrets is pruning. So God is saying to you, to me, do you know what my will would be for you? Where do we start? Well, first of all, the things that you would look at in last year and say that didn't provide or didn't produce any fruit. That didn't produce any fruit. That didn't produce any fruit. And say, Lord, what is your will? What do you want for me to become? Now, what if you'd say, I don't know. What's the first thing I do? Would you write in your bullet? Then take time to plan. Take time. Sometimes we don't take time to plan. Stop and plan. Chart out a little bit of what you would like to become. Someone once said, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So take the time, sit down, think it through. What would I like? What are some areas that I need to improve in? Some of the areas the Lord's been speaking to me in. What has God spoken to you as a student, as a parent, as a minister, as an employer that you need to improve in? Take the time. Let's read Proverbs 16 and 9. Go. The mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. In other words, God is saying, I'll have nothing to direct if your mind doesn't plan. Now, you'll plan. I may veto, change, redirect, but if the mind doesn't plan, what do I have to direct? So begin by taking the time to just plan. Well, you say, well, what about goals? Can I use goals? Yeah, there's some people that put like a picture of a big mansion on a hill and a Ferrari that they want to get and say, that's my goal. Well, maybe let me give you better goals than that. Goals are what? Goals are simply, would you write it down? Goals are simply points of obedience and improvement. Points of obedience and improvement. Start there. Simply by saying, Lord, what are some areas of my life that I need to be more obedient in? What has God spoken to you about that we haven't yet complied? Maybe being deeper and more consistent in our devotions. An area of my health or my weight or my words or my relationships. Lord, what are areas that I need to improve in? Knowledge. Should I read a few more books about, and you fill in the blank. A husband, a wife, as a man of God, a woman of God. Did you know, by the way, that there's 20% brand new knowledge that enters the workplace every year? So if I stop improving for 5 years, if it's 20% a year improvement that enters the workplace, but if I stop learning or improving for 5 years, what happens? I am what? 100% obsolete in 5 years. And so one of the things we want to do is to grow 20% at least, just to stay even. So God is calling us to improve. I've shared before how right after World War II, Dr. W. Edward Demings went to Japan because in the 60s, if you picked up an implement or something that on the bottom side it said made in Japan, it meant what? Bad quality. And so he went there to increase the quality of the products of Japan. And among all of the other principles that he gave them, one stuck out the most. And it said, if you will improve something about yourself and what you're doing every day, and don't make quality something you reach at and hang on to, but just make quality a part of your life. I just do this every day. Think of one thing to improve and do it, even if it's something really teeny. Then in 10 years, you will turn your economy around, and in 30 years, you will be a world power economically. And sure enough, they did exactly that. And in 10 years, they turned their economy around. And in 30 years, now a landmass with zero natural resources has become a world power today. Well, what do? They just improve stuff. Isn't that true? They take one of our cars over there, they improve it, sell it back to you at 5 times the price. And we buy it. They take our cameras. They improve it, sell it back to us. They take our computers, improve it, sell it back to us. Watches, they improve it, sell it back to us. They take everything and they just improve it. And if they can do that for an economy, how much should we do that for our lives, for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How many of you would agree that God is worthy of our best? How many of you? Yes, He is indeed worthy of our best. Now, how much do you improve? Just improve 1% a day. Just 1%. Just 1%. Because if you improve just something little every day, 1%, then after a whole year, at the end of this year, you will have improved over 300% as a person. That's pretty cool. And what do you improve? Anything. Just improve the way you stand, the way you sit, the way you look at people in the eye when you meet them or speak with them instead of at their toes. Comb your hair, put deodorant on, tie your shoes, anything. Take a bath. It'll improve you immensely. 1% a day. Now, I have a calendar that I have, and it's a very simple calendar. You can get it at your favorite bookstore. And it's just a simple thing where I actually plan not only defensively, but I plan what I call offensively, which means sometimes we take a calendar and we plan by putting in things in here that, oh, I got an appointment with the doctor. I got an appointment here and I got an appointment there, and that's all. No, instead, plan offensively, which simply means, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are some of the things I need to do, things that I need to spend time with, and write those in? So I need to spend time with my son. Hey, when can we get together? Oh, okay, all right. And you write that in there. Hey, and you have all of these things written down that I need to improve in, and I actually scheduled them in offensively. And then you start following that track, and you move towards improvement. I know that I need to read a few more books to stay ahead of knowledge. So I actually got 24 books that I, after researching some titles and some references, and they said these are good books, I actually write these down at the top of my calendar list here. And then I turn the page and I write a few more and two more. Every month I have two books written down so that at the end of 12 months there's 24 there, and I check myself to see if I'm reading them, so that at the end of the year, I will have increased knowledge. And then at the bottom of the page, there's a few things that I want to accomplish. I want to learn some new languages, so I'm studying Spanish right now. ¿A dónde vas ahora? A la clase de español. ¿Tú estudias español? Vámonos a clase. That's my first lesson, huh? Not bad. I don't know what in the world that means, but I got my first lesson down. And then it says exercise here. I have a certain weight that I want to reach, and I won't show you that one, and a few other things. And so what I'm doing is I'm planning offensively, proactively, rather than reactively. And most of the times we plan reactively. Okay, I got an appointment here, eye appointment here. Okay, that's it. No, say, Lord, what are some of the things I need to be doing? Plan that in. Who do I need to be with? Plan that in. Write it in pencil, because so you can change it around, but at least you know it's in there, and you're following a course of action that will improve you and will help you to be obedient. Now, here's something that you can't quite see, but these are some notes that I made over the last 2.5 weeks of the Holy Spirit saying to me, call this person, write this person a note, change this, do this, encourage this person. And so I write them in and actually check them off so that I can see when the Holy Spirit says, and one of the other services, a lady came up to me named Candy and said, would you pray for me because I've got some bone problems? So I write that in there, pray for Candy, so that as I'm going through these, I see what things are not yet marked off, and I go back to them and I stay with it until at the end of the year, I'll have a bunch of these notes and I can tell you all the things the Lord said to me and tell you whether or not I obeyed. And you know, the other thing that's neat is, it delights the Holy Spirit, because when I write these things down, you know what I'm saying to God? I intend to do something with what you just told me. And it delights God, because if He sees us being willing to accomplish the little things, then He'll reveal to us bigger things. But if I can't be faithful with little, I won't be faithful with much. So use this as a proactive kind of calendar. So take the time to plan. Well, you say, Wayne, what's this whole thing about though? What are you, you know, because I've got tons of stuff to do already. Are you just saying add more stuff? No, no. Would you write a number two? Here's the bottom line. In everything that we're doing, God wants us to renew our hearts to God. Renew our heart back to God. You see, sometimes we say, well, do we just add more stuff? Because, whew, I've already got a lot to do. Mm-mm. Here's a word that God gave to me a week and a half ago, and I believe that it's a word for this whole church, and that is this. God said, no, I don't want you to do necessarily more, Wayne, but I do want you to put more heart into what you do. Put more heart into what you do. That is the key that will convert that activity into life. Otherwise, you'll maintain it, you'll be there, but you won't turn it into life. I want you to renew your heart back to me and to be motivated to do everything by the Spirit of God. You say, well, how do I do that? How do I put more heart into stuff? How do I get the Holy Spirit to kind of help me enlarge my heart so that I'm putting more heart, not doing more activity, but putting more heart into the activities that I'm doing? How do I do that? Well, let's read the scripture, Ephesians 5:18. Go. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Here's the first thing that you do. Let me give you three ways to enlarge your heart so that in every activity there's more heart. Number one, would you put in your first bullet, ask God to fill you with His Spirit daily. That's what the scripture just said. Ask God to fill you with the Spirit of God daily. I cannot tell you how important that is to get up in the morning and say, Lord, I don't understand all of this, but I know that on my own strength, I can't do it. I'm too boneheaded. I'm too frail. I'm too weak to accomplish stuff on my own strength. And even as Spartan as it may sound, even as holy as it may sound, I'm going to work for God this year. Now, it's a whole lot better to say, Lord, come and do your work through me. Fill me with your Spirit. Instead of saying, I'm going to live for God today. I'm going to live for God this year. No, instead say, Lord, would you live your life through me today? Lord, live your life through me this year. In other words, fill me with your Spirit and work through me. One of the best prayers you can pray is, Holy Spirit, would you fill me afresh? And then it will be His power, His eyesight, His ears that will start to develop within you. Pray that every single day. Lord, fill me afresh with your Spirit. There's no greater prayer to pray. Then as the Spirit of God moves through you, it'll be His power, not yours. You'll start to see things through His eyes, hear things with His ears. You'll be saying what He's saying. You'll be where He is by the power of the Spirit. For it is not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So one of the things to build more heart into every activity this year is, one, ask God to just fill you with the Spirit of God every day. Real simple prayer. The second is, develop a spirit of encouragement. Would you write that in? Develop a spirit of encouragement. As we're walking right now through Ephesians, let's read what Ephesians 5, now verse 19 says. Go. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How many of you have had your lives transformed, turned around, reignited by a person's genuine encouragement? Raise your hand. Yeah, look at that. How many times I've not had the gumption to go on, and I've kind of ran out of gas, and someone will come with a genuine word of encouragement. I mean, a genuine word of encouragement. And it's given me the courage to keep going. It filled my tank. And God is saying, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts unto God. There's one thing that will help heart to return to people is encouragement, genuine encouragement. Write down the scripture, Hebrews 3:13. It says this. Now encourage one another as day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. What? Yeah. Encourage one another day after day, while it's still called today. Until midnight, it's still called today. So you know what God is saying? Find somebody and encourage them.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Making the Most of Our Time by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Now for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.